Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Thursday morning, April the 23rd, 2026, 4:23:26. 14 and a half coming up on 15 minutes past the hour. And we have been covering this story very closely this week in regard to Heather Hill's run for governor. And here's the story as it was from the Ohio Secretary of State's page yesterday. I'll just read it as it is. Stuart Motes submitted to our office today a withdrawal of candidacy for the office of Lieutenant Governor as part of the Heather Hill-Stuart Motes joint candidacy for Governor and Lieutenant Governor. Absent a valid Lieutenant Governor candidate, Ms. Hill no longer qualifies to receive votes for the office of Governor. Ohio's 88 county boards of elections have been notified that any votes for Heather Hill-Stuart Motes will not be counted, and each board must also provide notice. And that was yesterday from the Ohio Secretary of State. Joining us this morning for the first hour is the senior campaign advisor for the Heather Hill for Governor campaign, Larry Barnett. Larry, good to have you with us this morning.
Well, thanks for having me, Scott. I appreciate it.
Larry, this came down from the Secretary of State yesterday afternoon. What's the status of the Heather Hill campaign as of this morning?
Well, as of this morning, we're still moving ahead. You'll have to bear with me sometimes here, Scott. I'll appreciate the time to talk to you and let you know Heather's not going anywhere. We're seeking legal counsel at this point to see what options, if any, that we have. And as far as I'm concerned, this campaign is still pressing forward until we get answers to our questions.
The Ohio Secretary of State put this out yesterday. Usually, they would not do something like this unless they were for sure these were the rules, because this could interfere with people's voting if it were not the case.
Well, but at the same time, Heather deserves to be heard as well. This is like any story, Scott. This has two sides, and we hope that Heather can continue, and we're going to continue to try to bring Ohio together. We have to have our marching orders updated a little bit, and so speak it. I just don't know exactly, Scott, what I can say at this point to you and to your listeners until we spoke with legal counsel.
Well, let me just ask you this. We're down to what here? We've got just about 12 days until the May 5th primary.
Right.
How would it be possible at this point that Heather would be able to receive legitimate ballots that would be counted on May the 5th?
I wish I could answer that, Scott, but I can't. I've read the same letter from the Secretary of State that you read, which is what led to contacting an attorney to see what options are there, as I said, if any. For her to move this campaign forward, continue to move this campaign forward.
Do you know if the attorney has offered a possible route here for her to still be on the ballot?
Well, that's what we're hoping for. Okay, that's obviously what we're hoping for. So as soon as she updates, you know, we'll update the public and update you as well. When I have a good answer for you, and right now I don't have one.
Well, Larry, let's talk about why this all happened. Sure. It was the break from her lieutenant governor candidate, her running mate, Stuart Motes.
Right.
Okay. Why did this happen so publicly this past weekend? This seems, even if you didn't like the guy, even if you didn't believe what he thought, he's the bottom of the ticket, and doing this so close to the primary could cause problems like this.
And I am in total agreement with you. The Scott, the conversation took a turn that absolutely just shocked me to no end with Mr. Motes. We were having a conversation because it is so close to the primary. We were having a conversation about everybody stepping up their game a little bit to try to get Heather through the primary. During the conversation, Stuart got extremely defensive and basically told Heather at that point to F off and good luck with the vote. Now, I was part of this conversation, so I immediately called Stuart to try to find out what was going on. And he unleashed a tirade of profanity-laced communication about Heather. I was caught by surprise. I didn't expect it. I've known Stu a little while now, and I've never seen anyone so vindictive to tear our campaign down as he's been. Stuart, I got a lot of respect for him. He has a solid plan for Ohio, and to be able to, if property taxes are abolished, to be able to come up with a plan that makes up that difference, and we appreciate that. What I didn't appreciate was the term that he used to describe Heather. And this is a family-oriented show. I'll just say by the time the conversation was done, Stuart left no doubt of how he felt and what his future plans were going to be. He called her Scott a racial name. As a senior advisor, I got placed in a very difficult situation because how do I tell Heather this, which is my responsibility to say what the conversation was about, considering it affected all of us. So that in itself, would have been should have been worked out between us. It should have never got to a level of a public back and forth, because I don't think that was the way to go. But when Stuart had said what he had said about Heather, it threw me in a tailspin, Scott. I just wasn't expecting it. Still don't understand why. I went back and reread the conversation probably multiple times and couldn't find out what set Stuart off so much about it. So and then from there, it was pretty much all downhill.
Well, Larry, and I'm going to try to clean this up a bit as much as I can, because the accusations are out there. But but what the claim was, it said Hill accused Motes of calling her the N-word bitch, an N-word bitch. Okay, now, did Heather Hill ever hear that? Was this in writing? Because Stuart has denied doing this.
Sure. So here's the difference, though, Scott. There are three people that know. That's me, that's Stuart, and that's God. I'm not going to get into what a he said, she said. I know what he told me. I know what he instructed me to tell Heather, and that's what I did.
So you were the one who... Heather did not hear this. You heard this.
This is me, yes.
Okay.
I heard it.
So this was during a phone conversation?
Yes.
So without obviously using the N-word here, what did he say to you? What context was this?
He was extremely, extremely angry about the conversation we had just had with him. And it just sort of snowballed from there. When he first told Heather to F off, I immediately pick up on what I would do. I pick up and say, "Hey, dude, what's going on? Let's get this worked out." And he wasn't having any of it. He just wasn't having any of it. So, Stuart can deny all he wants to. He can spin it however he wants to. I can't stop that. The only thing I have is I have the facts on my side. I have the text messages. I have all the information that we had when we started this journey, for lack of a better way to put it. But go ahead.
Well, Larry, this is interesting, because before that conversation happened, seemingly to all of us in public, I think it has been reported that this all started last Friday. And the what we were told was that Motes made many disrespectful comments about his wife, making your campaign's female campaign advisors uncomfortable and leery. This is what Heather laid out. So before the conversation, at least how this has been laid out, happened, in which this racial slur might have been said, allegedly was said, this is what got the ball rolling. And I think what people are confused about, because at this point, until we know different, this has led to the end of Heather's campaign at this point.
Okay.
Why get so up, even if you didn't like what he was doing at that campaign event, being so close to the primary, being that he was just the lieutenant governor campaign, why pick this fight before the primary?
You ever roll a snowball down a hill? That's kind of where it went to and where it came from. Once the back and forth started, we were basically just left at his mercy of YouTube speeches about personal things of Heather, which I thought was in very, very poor taste, to be able to make those kind of statements about Heather.
Well, Larry, I think a lot of people would say, and I'm not saying that it's right, because here, just to catch the audience up who may not be aware of this, what happened was, after the accusation came down that Mr. Motes had used abusive language, racial slurs, insubordination, backstabbing, those were the comments from the Hill campaign.
Right.
And so Stewart responded. He did say that Hill was a deranged lunatic narcissist. He did say there was another accusation made here that he was pulling her close in photo shoots. And he did say, "Trust me, there's no way on earth that I would pull her close to me or put my arm around you, especially in the manner that your delusional lunatic mind has made up." He called Heather physically disgusting. And the big comment that got a lot of attention, he said, "No one, even with a handful of blue pills, would be able to actually do anything with you. It's that repulsive, and the only thing more disgusting than you physically is what's on the inside. Your soul is black." Now, certainly not saying that any of these comments are warranted, but after the things that were said about him prior to this, I don't think it was any shock to anybody that he was going to fire back.
Yeah, and it wasn't anything I would say that was unexpected once I kind of got my head around what the problem was. There was just, it's like I said just a little bit ago, Scott, is fueling the fire for rhetoric is not the way to get anything done. Now, Stewart had a choice. He could have elected not to say what he said, or he can attack the campaign, which he has done. Stewart has a lot of, I can't share a lot with you, but let's just say we've looked into it as well. Sometime this morning, hopefully I'll have an update.
Well,
excuse me.
And I think another question here, Larry, that people are asking themselves this morning, and I guess it'll all be depending on what happens with legal counsel. People are saying, because this did not end there, even after that fire back on Heather came out again and then said she had been made aware of abuse allegations against Stewart. It just didn't stop. Now, Larry, as her senior campaign advisor, did you go to Heather and say, this, you may not like the guy, you may not like what he's doing, but all we're doing is going back and forth here, and if he resigns from this campaign, we're going to be in some trouble.
Yeah.
Did that conversation ever happen?
Well, and I guess in a roundabout way, it all happened that way, but I still ask those to remember that you're voting for a candidate that loves Ohio. Yeah, we got caught up in this mess here, but that still didn't diminish her love. The terms that Stewart used, disillusioned or whatever, I would counter with driven. She's been working this state. She's worked all 88 counties in the state. Her vision for Ohio is very clear. And it's just a shame, Scott. It breaks my heart in two, because I'm more of a pacifist than I am anything else. I try to solve problems rather than run from them.
Well, and as a problem solver that you say you are, when this is going on, did you ever go to Heather and say, listen, this is not a good look. We should not continue this.
Yes.
And why do you think she didn't stop?
Because the venom, I guess, just automatically raised up the defensive mechanism, because he had some very harsh, horrible words to say about Heather. You can say whether she should have responded or you shouldn't have responded, and we'll let the public decide that, but her response never happened, Scott, until Stewart drew first blood.
Well, and not to get into a back and forth here, but as we've detailed in this conversation, the racial slur, the calling her an N-word bitch, which he has denied. You say you are the one who heard that on the phone conversation. Do you wish now that maybe you had not told her that?
Oh, yes. Oh, my God, yes. You know, I don't... Just a second. I wrestled, Scott, back and forth with this for a day and a half. But just a second, I have a high sensor alarm going off.
No problem. We're chatting with Larry Barnett here. He is the senior campaign advisor for the Heather Hill campaign, which at this point seems to be in limbo. Again, I want to read this letter from the Secretary of State, which came down yesterday. The Ohio Secretary of State, Stuart Motes, submitted to our office today a withdrawal of his candidacy for the office of Lieutenant Governor as part of the Heather Hill Stuart Motes joint candidacy for Governor and Lieutenant Governor. Absent a valid Lieutenant Governor candidate, Ms. Hill no longer qualifies to receive votes for the office of Governor. Ohio's 88 county boards of elections have been notified that any votes for Heather Hill Stuart Motes will not be counted, and each board must also provide notice. That's from the Ohio Secretary of State yesterday, as Stuart Motes officially submitted the paperwork resigning from the Heather Hill campaign, which at this point, until we know different, has officially ended the Heather Hill campaign. But Heather is meeting with legal counsel this morning to see if anything can be done about this. So Larry, you being the one that heard this racial remark being made, you say you wish you had not told Heather about this.
For the fallout that it's, you know, I wish I could have found a maybe more tactful way to, I don't know how you make those comments many more tactful, but yeah, Scott, I was honest sometimes right here. I wish that I had never said anything. I'm just being honest with you.
Well, and I appreciate that.
Go ahead.
Larry, do you think that Stuart would have resigned if this had not gotten so ugly? I think he probably was not going to stay with the campaign, but to go to the Secretary of State's office and officially resign, which is what has caused the problem now. Do you think he would have done that if this had not escalated so badly over the weekend?
I don't know, and I say that with hesitation because I had never seen this side of Stuart before. So it obviously left me in shock a little bit, and for myself, speechless is an understatement. Dissect it. Folks can dissect it however that they want to, you know, but if you're putting those shoes on yourself and seeing what you would do, what would you say? Would you just stand up and take it? Would you fire back? I mean, these are rhetorical, obviously, but the truth of the matter is it was unnecessary. There was nothing within the conversation that was that provocative to elicit that sort of response. And to say that I would be remiss, I guess, in not telling Heather. That's part of the job as a senior advisor sometimes, is to tell your candidate things that are very difficult to say. But that's what my job is.
Well,
that's why I talk to her about it.
Well, and Larry, I think this is also one of the questions. When you're running for governor, as we have seen with all the other gubernatorial candidates, Amy Acton last week and for a portion of this week was fighting a story in which police were called to her home for an argument between her and her husband. We have heard the stories about Casey Putch and possibly the remarks that he has made that some people view as anti-Semitic, some videos that people feel are racist. So, but they don't come out and respond the way Heather did. And I think that's the big difference for a lot of people here. I don't even know that Amy Acton has spoken personally on the police report from 2019. Now, people in her campaign have, but she hasn't. And Casey Putch has spoken, but not against anybody. He did not fire on anybody, and that's what Heather did. And I think it was made more personal because of that.
Probably so. I probably wouldn't disagree with that. Again, that's the old cliche of just roll the snowball down the hill, see how big it gets when it gets to the bottom. But to justify, I know Stuart's been out there on the media, and I know that he's been hot and heavy on it, but, you know, it still doesn't veer from the fact of what happened. He can put any kind of spin on it. I really don't care. He can put any kind of spin on it that he wants to. I know what happened, and that's exactly what I'm going to tell the truth and let the facts fall where they may. I don't believe in interjecting my opinion on this makes a hill of beans one way or the other. But if I could get him just to listen for a minute, I'm sure I could talk to him. But getting him to listen right now is not a thing I'm able to do.
Well, Larry, I will almost bet that Stuart will hear this interview. What would you say to him at this point?
I'm sorry you're hurt. I appreciated our time that we had together. I leaned on Stuart's counsel quite a bit. He was very good to bounce ideas off of, but this is unnecessary, Stuart. This can be stopped. You can stop this any time that you want to.
Now, I'm not sure of the legal ramifications here, but can he take back his resignation?
I don't tell you the truth, Scott. I don't know.
Because, honestly, most people looking at this, Larry, and again, I'm no attorney, but most people looking at this are going to say the only way that this possibly is going to be fixed and Heather's name is going to be put back on the ballot just because of deadlines and the way the Secretary of State runs is if Stuart either continues with this campaign or withdraws his resignation. And would the campaign want him to do that if it were possible?
I can't answer that. When in a campaign, there can only be one boss, and that's the governor's candidate herself. So I couldn't answer that, and wouldn't try to. I'd leave that one in Heather's court.
I would imagine you know Heather pretty well, and again, I understand you not wanting to speak for her, but do you think she would entertain that option at this point?
I don't think we're outside of entertaining anything. Anything that would stop this and promote some healing, that's what I'm for.
Well, and on that note, let me ask you this, Larry, and I know you're not with Heather right now, but, and I don't know that Stuart would want to have the conversation privately, because I think one of the problems with this back and forth is that he feels that the accusations being made about him were made in private, and nobody can really prove anything. Do you think Heather would come on a show like this with him and have a civil dialogue, not name-calling, just a dialogue with him? Do you think, you're her campaign manager, do you think she would do that?
Well, I'll be happy to ask her about it and see how she feels about it. I'd be glad to if it's something that'll promote some healing, something that'll bring sides together, something that's so necessary right now.
Well, and on that note, Larry, would you advise her as a senior campaign advisor? Would you advise her to do that?
Would I advise her to, at this point, right now, today, no. No, the cats are out of the bag, so it's going to have to play out the way it's going to play out. But if we could ever get Stuart and Heather back together again to where they could have a civil discussion, I'm all for that. I'm all for what heals this. I'm all for what moves it forward. And it breaks my heart to see, former friends that would go at each other like this. It breaks me up inside. It really does.
Larry, how do you describe Stuart prior to all of this? And what's your take on why this happened?
Well, I don't know if this has been something that had been building up in Stuart all along. I don't know. He seemed like the frustration was pent up, and he just released it all on her. Ask your question again, Scott. I'm sorry.
I say, what was Stewart like prior to all of this, and what do you think brought this all on?
Well, you can take me at my word when I say Stewart was a good counselor. He's a good speaker. He fit right into the LG spot perfect. As time went along over there, there were questions about where he was devoting his energy to. I hope that no matter what Scott comes out of the end, I hope we can make amends here, that we can let everybody move forward with their life. Not going to be able to control what Secretary of State does or does not do. So the only thing I know to do, Scott, is to keep pushing our message forward and then let the legal minds settle the rest.
If what the Secretary of State is saying is true and does hold up, because there's not a whole lot of time left here, where does Heather go from here?
That's a good question. I think it's in limbo, Scott. We don't really know what direction we go from here. That's why I'm hoping to have some answers here shortly and soon. But hopefully it's something. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I think it's interesting because I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth here, but are you saying that at this point there possibly could be a reconciliation here, or at least it would be welcome, and that Stewart could continue on as the lieutenant gubernatorial candidate with Heather?
With the words that were said, I'll be completely honest with you, Scott, there were some hard words said that need to be addressed. That need to be, and Stewart, if you're listening, and I hope that you are, you owe the lady an apology. Whether you felt like, however that you felt she was trying to talk to you about, did not require that type of a response, and you know that. So you owe the lady an apology, and for God's sake, let's move forward.
Do you think that Heather would apologize for the things that she said?
I don't see that happening. Who provoked who, Scott? I mean...
Well, I understand that, and I think that'll be up for debate, but yeah. You know, I would imagine people both said things that they would want to take back, I would think.
I don't doubt that.
Right. So I think that's where, if one person was willing to apologize, I would think the other person would be willing to apologize.
Well, we have some obstacles to get over, around, underneath, however that it works is fine with me, you know, and I would love to see amends made. I don't think nothing make my heart any happier.
Well, and so I guess... The question here is, as the senior campaign advisor, what advice are you giving this morning with things kind of in shambles at this point?
Well, the hard conversation, which I think you're leaning towards, is not an issue at this point. When we figure out whether there's a legal recourse that we can go through, I can comment more on what the plan would be and what direction that we would be going. So we're, at this point, we're just in kind of limbo, just kind of waiting to see what's recommended. But
In our final 10 minutes, there's something I want to tackle here, Larry. Did Heather realize when the falling out happened this past weekend, when Stewart, because I don't think Stewart was the first person who said that he was leaving the campaign. I believe it was Heather who announced that first, that he would no longer be with the campaign. Now, if I'm wrong, correct me on that.
Yeah. No, he called me we talked the next day, and he made it clear that he was done with the campaign then.
But I think he had said in some media he's done that he was not going to make that public because of the close nature of the primary.
Well, and that's probably true, but again, Scott, you have to go back to what my responsibilities to my candidate are. Something this inflammatory, you just can't lay it aside and not deal with it.
That's true, but the truth of the matter here, I guess if we look back on this and hindsight's 2020, is that even if you had told her, and I'm not saying you should have been dishonest, if this conversation did happen in which this racial slur was said, and he had said he was going to withdraw, these were all private phone conversations, and even if you had those conversations with Heather, they were still private conversations. If she had not went public saying these things, then the media would not have known. The public would not have known. Stewart would, I highly doubt, would have fired on her because he didn't until it was made public. Why did she go public? Even if they were made this close to the primary, why go to the media with that?
Well, the point was is Stewart was constantly firing off at her with some remarks that are undignified. You know, his mouth with the blue pills or whatever the devil he was trying to say, you know, was that necessary?
Well, I think
not being vindictive, why was that necessary then?
Well, and I think he has said that he regrets that. I think he has said that, the blue pill comment, and I believe he has said he didn't make it. But I believe the first comments, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, but the first comments that were brought up here were about the campaign event, I guess it would have been last Friday, in which Heather claimed that he had made disrespectful comments about his wife, making the female campaign advisors uncomfortable and leery. So she was the one who, before all the blue pill comments, all the racial slur comments, all that came out, that came from her first, because that was in a Facebook post on Saturday evening, and also said that he would no longer be, I believe this was the quote, "We believe this is absolutely not a coincidence that he waited till right before the primary to pull this stunt. Politics is dirty, but we have to rise above it." So this all came before all of that. And had that initial comment about...
Well, let me ask you this. When I first called him after he made the statement to Heather, when I first called him, the first words out of his mouth is, "You tell that blankety blank that I'm done." Now, in my opinion, if you hadn't wanted me to say anything to Heather, you should have said the conversation was private. But you didn't say that. What he said was, "You tell that so-and-so that I'm through with this campaign."
But just didn't that come after what we had just discussed, though, the disrespectful comments about his wife at the campaign event on Friday?
No, that wasn't the same. That was separate.
Okay, so they had that campaign event on Friday together after he had pulled out?
Scott, I don't have my note in front of me. I can't answer that question properly for you, but I'll get the answer.
Okay. Well, and I guess here's the point. Did Heather or you or anybody, while this war is going on last weekend and continued on into the week this week, did anybody understand that if he did officially resign, it would bring an end to her campaign?
I say no. No. Because I honestly, Scott, I honestly held out hope that this could be worked through. And to this point, that's not the case.
Do you think, had yourself and Heather known that if he withdrew from the Secretary of State that it would end her campaign. Do you think the rhetoric from Heather would have been so rough over the weekend?
You're asking me to speculate on a fluid situation, and I can't really answer that for you, Scott.
Well, and I appreciate your honesty. I guess the most important question is, when this came from the Secretary of State yesterday, I believe it was 8:03, it was late last night, actually, that this came from the Secretary of State. How did Heather find out, and what was her reaction?
I found it online. I found it, can't remember exactly whose page I did find that on, come to think about it, but yes, it was given to me right about that same time.
So you called her, I would imagine, at that, or were you with her at that point?
No, she found it before we did.
Oh, okay.
She shared it to us in a text.
So what, did you have a conversation at that point, or what happened?
I don't think we didn't have a conversation at that point. Everything was still fluid. And I was basically trying to work out something to where that they could make amends, which is what my focus has been on.
So at this point, has she agreed that she would like to make amends?
No, she has not said that to me.
Have you reached out to him?
To Stuart?
Yeah.
He called me the next day, and we talked about it. He said he would have rather that I not told Heather that, but that he was going to own it. I thought he should own it, you know. But
have you reached out since last night to Stuart to try to make this amends?
No. Yeah, no, I haven't reached out to Stuart yet.
But you do.
I'm hoping things will calm down a little bit, and we can all get together and get this problem worked out.
So I guess, is the best solution here for a possible return to the ballot before the May 5th primary? Because here's how I'm looking at this, and again, I'm no lawyer, but deadlines have passed. The Secretary of State has already notified their county boards what to do publicly. They've... And the county boards will notify their workers to not count these votes. So it seems as if the only thing that can possibly happen, because I think the Secretary of State has made their ruling that she cannot put another name on there other than Mr. Motes at this point. So if it's not him, if that withdrawal is not rescinded, which I'm not even sure if it can be at this point, if it's not rescinded, right, I don't know really how this campaign goes on.
Well, we've faced obstacles before, and this by far is probably the biggest obstacle that we've ever faced, but we're not laying down. Not going to lay down and roll over. If the Secretary of State's going to do what the Secretary of State does, but right now, as I sit talking to you today, it's still full speed ahead.
And just to be clear in our final 3 minutes here, she's got to have a lieutenant governor candidate. The state has already ruled that it has to be Mr. Motes because the deadline has passed for that. So is she willing, and I know you haven't, I guess, talked to her, but do you want to see him come back to the campaign? Would that be an option to get back on the ballot if it were negotiable?
Yeah, not currently. I'm not interested in anything like that unless the first words out of Stuart's mouth, so I apologize.
Okay. So the amends in your mind would be what? What would that entail? Just saying I'm sorry to each other?
Basically, yeah. And get back on the ballot if you can and do what's best for all of us.
So wouldn't get back on the ballot entail that he was back with the campaign?
Well, yeah, I believe it would, yeah.
So, maybe I phrased the question. So you would accept him back into the campaign at this point?
What I would accept and what Heather would accept are going to be two different things at this point. You know, as I said, the environment was toxic, so there's only one person that's a boss of a campaign, and that is the candidate themselves. So,
but
I follow her lead.
But at this point, you would advise her to let him come back if that were possible.
It would have to be a big possibility.
Okay. Well, and I guess the only thing, and I thank you, Larry, for this frank conversation this morning. I know it's not a good morning for your campaign, but I hope that when Heather does her first interview on this, it'll be here. She's been on before, and
yes.
I hope this is a fair environment for her to come on.
And I will sure make that recommendation to her.
All right. I thank you, Larry. We have been joined this hour by Larry Barnett, the senior campaign advisor for the Heather Hill for Governor campaign. At this point, the Secretary of State has said that this campaign cannot go on and has instructed Ohio's 88 counties to not count the votes. But Heather is meeting with legal representation this morning, and we will see what happens in the next few days, and we will give you an update as soon as we know. Larry, keep in touch. Let us know what's going on, and we'll see what happens as we go on down the road.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me, and I will sure make sure that you're in the loop. When we find out something, we'll let you know.
All right. Thank you, Larry.
Have a good day, sir.
Bye-bye. All right, stay tuned to this program. We've got stuff right around the corner.
You're always a little bit missed, of course, because everyone doesn't love you. But at the same time, you have to look at